Hey friends, welcome back to The Common Good here on AM 1160, Hope for Your Life. Alongside Aubrey Sampson, my name is Brian Fromm. And as we often talk about on the show, Aubrey and I are both pastors. And so we selfishly love to have on other pastors to talk about what's it like to be a pastor, to talk about the local church, all the craziness of the local church here during the pandemic. And with that in mind, we're excited to be joined by the lead teaching pastor at Community Evangelical Free Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Also the author of a new book called Shepherd and Sheep, Essays on Loving and Leading in a Local Church. His name is Benjamin Verbicek. Benjamin, how you doing today, bud?
Doing really good, Brian and Audrey. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's absolutely our pleasure. Hey, before we jump into all the stuff in this book and other things that you've written, why don't you just reintroduce yourself to our audience so they can get to know you a little bit better?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's been great to be on a time or two before. But so my name again is Benjamin. I'm got a bunch of kids and I've been married a bunch of years and lead pastor of a very normalish local church with all sorts of wonderful things and all sorts of hard things. And we're in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, so the middle of Pennsylvania. It's a capital city, but not necessarily a huge one. And I was most prestigiously, I just retired as the middle school cross country coach.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was pretty time consuming. But my son's running a small Christian school. You know, they're always wanting people to help. So
yeah,
it was a fun season.
Great. That's great. Benjamin, I'm reading an excerpt right now on Amazon from your new book. Again, the title is Shepherd and Sheep, Essays on Loving and Leading at a Local Church. And this really stood out to me. Brian and I, like he has said before, are local pastors. And so I read this and I was like, oh, yep, I get it. It says this, you're talking to your elder board. I told them I have learned one of two things. Either I'm not called to pastoral ministry or I'm doing it wrong. What other option could there be? I asked. Ministry should not be so hard. I feel like after 2020, 2021, a lot of pastors are saying that. Talk to us about what you meant when you wrote that.
Oh, boy. I feel like I should be on a counselor's couch instead of a radio show. But yeah, so that was honestly written in the heart of the real thick of the lockdown and contemplating opening back up and what that meant for in-person services. And so the problem for me, in addition to what everybody else was experiencing, and I don't want to say I'm unique in this, but I came into the pandemic already pretty tired. We had lost one of our lead pastors at our church, and it was a little more work to replace him than I thought it would be. And at the same time, had a shoulder surgery that was planned, but and then officiated 5 weddings, went through my ordination, and all of that led me to be pretty darn tired before March of 2020. And so that was written in May, and I just was looking at the guys saying, I don't know what's going on here. Either I'm not supposed to do this or I'm doing it wrong. And that's how I felt, at least.
Yeah. And as Aubrey said, I think we all get that. All of our circumstances are unique, but kind of the common denominator for all of us as pastors is it's been really hard. Really hard. Benjamin, I appreciate the title of your new book, kind of talking about shepherd and sheep, because that is kind of the biblical imagery that we get throughout this idea of shepherding and sheep. Why is that, do you think, such an important imagery for us to understand and us to hold on to?
Oh, it's huge. It's, you know, it gives a sense of who the pastor is, which is first and foremost a sheep.
Yeah, you know, right.
Right, isn't it? The expectation here is that I'm the shepherd and so on, and you are shepherds. And that's true, but Peter describes us as having, you know, the over-shepherd, which makes us under-shepherds. We're just sheep first. And I think there's a real sweetness to not losing sight of that. And if I could just say just maybe the origin story here for the book, together. Yeah. So I was on sabbatical this summer, which based on what we were just talking about, you can assume was probably needed. But it was a time to just sit back and think and reflect and collect thoughts together. And there's this line in Galatians that Paul writes about those who are taught the word should share everything good thing with their teacher. And the assumption is that, well, I'm the teacher of the word. You know, no one says more on Sundays than me generally. But I think this book to me was a way to say back to the church, you have taught me what it means to be a sheep, what it means to be a shepherd, what it means to have God as our good shepherd. And so sort of it was largely just a gift back to my local church. And if others find benefit from it, all the better.
And what are some of the stories that you share? Maybe pick one or two, Benjamin, that really are kind of your favorites stories in the book. Man.
Yeah, so you're picking on that first one. It's called Bending the COVID Bow of Bronze, which was this imagery from one of the Psalms and a book of Samuel and David speaking, where he has this line where he says, the Lord enabled me to bend a bow of bronze. And we don't know whether that's like a bow and arrow, whether it's an actual bow made of bronze and so no one could bend it, or just a bow reinforced with bronze. And so for me, it was this metaphor for pastoral ministry that the Lord has helps us to do something impossible that we wouldn't do on our own. So that's a favorite. I really tried to just collect a smorgasbord of things that would be interesting to our church. And some favorite ones are why we treat current events the way we do. Mm. That one, you know, people who hang around for a while I think appreciated that essay because it explained, oh, that's what I experienced. And for us, the punchline is really, we try to be light on current events as a gift, not as a cowardness or that we're unaware of what's happening, but just to remind people that 52 weeks a year, that's the word of the Lord that stands forever. So that's a favorite one in there too.
Yeah. How do you practically do that? Because I think a lot of pastors struggle with that. A lot of churches struggle with that. And you know, you start getting focused on the wrong things. How do you practically build that into your church? And maybe what's something other pastors can do to help build that into their congregation?
Yeah, two very concrete ones. I'm not against topical preaching. Don't hear that wrong. We do that at different times. But generally, the expectation is we're moving through books of the Bible, which sort of frees us from the ability to be as nimble as perhaps other places. And I think that slowness is a good thing. The other thing would be our what we would call pastor elders, the volunteer pastors and staff pastors of our church, are actively involved. We really make our meetings more about people and problems than decisions. They're not just decision makers. So where that comes into play is they're really helpful in knowing the pulse of our church through the small groups they lead and what really are, you know, whether it's CNN or Fox News, okay, they're telling us these things are important, but what really are the things that our church is experiencing? And I think getting that feedback is really helpful.
Yeah.
And Benjamin, what do you hope readers will get as they read through the essays? Like, what is your sort of big goal for people who pick up this book and begin browsing through some of the stories you're sharing?
Well, I don't want to scare some people off with this reference, but former President Obama wrote his memoir about his first year, and he says in the introduction that he wants for all the power and pomp of presidency to know that it's a very ordinary job. And I just think what the feedback I've received of the book so far is they're thankful that this isn't a good metaphor because you draw the curtain back in the Wizard of Oz, like no one's really there doing anything. But I mean that in a better way, that pulling the curtain back, what is it like to be a pastor who loves his sheep and also loves his family and has problems and has his own sin and is just trying to work that all out in the context of keeping his congregation attentive on what God is doing among us and making Jesus the hero. And so I think that to me is the sort of favorite takeaways that people have shared with me.
That's so good. The book again is Shepherd and Sheep, Essays on Loving and Leading in a Local Church. The author of that is Benjamin Verbacek. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Verbacek. That's at Benjamin Verbacek. I should probably spell the last name. Verbicek. Benjamin, I want to stray away from your book for a second and just read something that you tweeted on September the 1st of this year, because I read it and went, wow, that's bold. That's a great stand. And I would just love to know kind of what was behind it. So let me read it. And then I would love for you to just kind of let us kind of behind the curtain of this tweet. You said, "Friends, I would love to use Twitter more, but my heart can't take it. I'll spend a few minutes on the first of each month seeing what I missed. Then I'm shutting it down for the next 30 or 31 days. Text me if you want to talk." So why'd you make that decision and how has it gone for you?
Oh, yeah. That, you know, it's funny to hear your own tweets read back. I hoped it was, it was sent with a little bit of brokenness, but a little bit of, I have real friends that have my real phone number and I'm happy to talk at any time. And so, you know, what came out of that is, again, I mentioned this very briefly in the last segment, but I was on sabbatical this summer. And so I didn't feel the responsibility to be knowing of what's going on. And I don't think I was able to really rest fully. And so throughout August, I just turned off every social media, didn't even check them. And it was just so life-giving. And so what I just felt is through there is this pull in social media, not unlike a, you know, a car that's out of alignment, except with a car out of alignment, it's like unintentional and you have to get it fixed. Social media, I feel like, is pulling you towards one ditch or another. And I just didn't have the energy to hold the car, so to speak, straight.
Yeah.
And that's where that came from. And then I'll just say, like, I just had my birthday the other day. One of the things we do as a family is we just, you know, thank the Lord for the person in front of them, try and practice giving and receiving compliments at the dinner table. And my wife just mentioned what it's meant for our family, for me to not be on social media and how that's impacted me in the home for the better. And so it just re-underscored, yeah, this is a good thing, even though there's a loss involved in it.
Wow. Happy birthday, by the way. Benjamin, I'm especially, I'm an author myself, so I'm thinking, man, he went off Twitter right as he's promoting a book. Like, this is so counterintuitive, but I love that you made that decision. And I don't want to get into your family business too much, but I would love to hear, like, just hearing your wife said that, what are some of the benefits you've seen from taking some time away?
Yeah, I can't say I still don't check emails or text messages standing in the kitchen for too much. But really, there's not that pull. Like, when I'm home, the phone can go down. And it always could have. I just really wasn't that great at doing that, what I could have always been doing. So for me, it was like, this may seem weird, but there's this Old Testament story where they've got this bronze snake, and it's with Hezekiah. And it's the bronze snake back from, like, the Exodus story. And it's, you know, people look to it and they're saved and whatnot. Anyway, there's this line under Hezekiah's reign that they're still worshiping it, and he has to smash it. And the ideal would have been he just could have kept the snake, and, like, it would have been a trophy to the Lord's grace and salvation, but it became a stumbling block. So they just had to fully, okay, the ideal would be to use this as a good tool to glorify God, but in some situations, you just got to put it away. And for me, I was too probably, I don't know, weak's the right word, but I just couldn't do it. So I like just being more fully present with my family.
Love That's that. Great. So getting back to your book, Benjamin, it's called Shepherd and Sheep, Essays on Loving and Leading in a Local Church. We talked about in the first part of the interview about the concept of a shepherd, but let's talk about sheep, because you said also we as pastors, we are also first and foremost sheep. Those in the church are sheep. Help people understand that that's not really a nice description. Like, to be called a sheep is not exactly complimentary. Help people understand that who may not know that.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Because, yeah, there in Chicago, there's probably not a lot of urban sheep farmers, I suppose. maybe they're getting out in the city limits. But we're going to probably preach through Psalm 23 for our Easter series coming up. So I'm doing a little reading and poking around there. But to be called a sheep how do you want to say it? You need a lot of help. you might bite things that are there to help you. People that are there to help you, you follow the herd, you might walk into dangerous places. And so you really need, in that Psalm 23 imagery, the rod and the staff of the shepherd to lead you to still waters. You are, as weak, our kind of tagline around here is weak, to see the weak, wounded, and wayward, enjoy the living Jesus. And so to be a sheep is to be weak, wounded, and wayward.
And Benjamin, I'm going back to something we talked about in our conversation with you. When we read that line, either something like, I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but either I'm not called to pastoral ministry or I'm doing something wrong here. I'm assuming you moved past that. And I would love, I guess, just to hear for all of our listeners that are in ministry or in leadership and the past 18 months have really worn them down. I guess what words of life would you speak over them to tell them to keep going?
So for me, what happened is I got to the place where the elders, I left a late elder meeting and they said, you know, this is the letter we need to write to the church about our COVID stuff that we're going to do in this, you know, at this iteration. And I remember thinking, I could send this letter or I could send them my resignation letter. And that's how low it got for me. I don't, now this is all public. I've told the staff that. Now I guess I told more than our staff. But I feel far enough away from it. But I didn't do it because I knew it was sin. It's not a sin to quit pastoring. I don't mean that. But for me, I had nothing to go to. It was only, I'm afraid, I'm walking away, I'm scared, I'm overwhelmed. And what I did instead is I wrote the silly COVID letter and we moved on. And the next elder meeting, I sent the staff home and I just pulled the guy aside and said, it's not broke. But it's not working, and I don't know how to fix it, but I think it can be. Will you and I, can we work together? And so for me, it was a way to say, I don't have a lot of health left, but with what little health I have, I'm going to put it in this direction. And I'm asking for you to see if we can get there together. And they heard that with such kindness and such tenderness, that it really propelled what was this next 9 months and really a year long of healing and growing and learning what it meant to be a pastor again in a new role. So I think, yeah, what encouragements of life, God can do something special if you will take what little health you might have, these little embers, this promise. And there's an essay about this in the book about the bruised reed he will not break, the smoldering wick he's not going to put out. Like, it would be so easy to do. You just pinch that little flame and it goes out. And yet the Lord's desire is to get on his hands, his knees, and blow those embers until they're aflame again. And he would love to do that for you, Mr. or Mrs. Pastor, ministry leader.
Absolutely. That's a good word. Let's end there. Because again, if you're out there struggling, especially as we talk specifically in the pastor world, I think Benjamin has given you a good word, like it's kind of a refreshment. Yeah. And again, if you want to hear more of that, go get his book, Shepherd and Sheep, Essays on Loving and Leading in a Local Church. Benjamin, it's always fun to have you on. Oh, let me remind people they can find your blog, fanandflame.com, and also on Twitter, at Benjamin Verbicek. That's at Benjamin Verbicek. Benjamin, thanks so much, man. It's always great having you on.
Yeah, great. Hey, I'll just say one thing. Anybody subscribes on that blog and they shoot me an email from there, I will be happy to send them the ebook version of that book for free and just, just say thanks for listening. So I love being on your show. Love what you guys are doing.
Thanks so much, Benjamin. It's always good to have you on. We're glad that you're joining us today. You're listening to The Common Good, AM 1160, Hope for Your Life.